Dateline Washington, Senator John C. Stennis discusses issues and the Congress.
This is Herman Kelly from WBSN Radio in Quitman, Mississippi. Senator Stennis, our Mississippi broadcasters will be in convention on the Mississippi Gulf Coast June 11th through the 13th. We've enjoyed your presence at the convention on other occasions and proudly chose you as our Man of the Year a couple of years ago. We all value your friendship. Wish you could be with us this year. Senator Stennis, Congress recently refused to go along with a move in the Senate to keep draftees from serving in Indochina unless they volunteered to do so. This move was apparently a victory for President Nixon, small as it may have been. Can he get what he wants with regard to the extension of the draft?
Well, first, Herman, let me thank you again for that Man of the Year award, which I still warmly appreciate. And also thank you for your fine words of encouragement and friendship, and I wish I could be at your convention this year. In a broad sense, I think that the draft bill will finally be passed, and largely in the form as reported out by the committee. The committee did not follow the president's recommendations in every way. I'm the floor leader for the legislative fight in the Senate on this bill, and will have a further answer to your question at the end of this broadcast.
Thank you, Senator. We'll return in a moment with more Dateline Washington. Here again is Herman Kelly.
Senator, the deadline for filing for local and statewide elections in Mississippi is almost here. The reapportionment measure passed by the 1971 legislature was recently set aside by the federal court and their own plan imposed. Are we destined to continue under this type of seemingly arbitrary control, or is there any relief from the Voting Rights Act of 1965 available to us through Congress?
Well, it'll be a long fight. Now, really, this decision of the federal court recently reapportioning in Mississippi was decided primarily under the one-man, one-vote theory that the Supreme Court initiated themselves several years ago and based it on constitutional grounds. That decision was far more under that mandate of the Supreme Court than it was the Voting Rights Act of 1965. But this Voting Rights Act of 65 is highly objectionable. It's discriminatory against an area of the country. Its time ran out once, and we had strong hopes that it would not be continued in that form anyway. And to his credit, the Attorney General of the United States, Mr. Mitchell, was on our side there. But it was taken out of his hands by the Congress, and this act reenacted. And now they're trying to get another amendment to it that would create a presumption against us rather than a presumption in favor, and try to get the burden of proof all put upon us that we'd have to justify any change we'd made. Now, they'll have a whale of a fight over that one before they ever get it. Frankly, it's purely a discriminatory political question here in the Congress about the so-called voting rights to be imposed on us, from which all the rest of the country exempts themselves, and they have tremendous power. But I believe we can defeat them on that point. And finally, the law will expire and we can have another shot at it. But it's good politics for those in the East and the North to try to keep the torch on us and immune themselves in this field as well as in school integration.
China reportedly is entering interested in establishing diplomatic relations with the United States. Already, President Nixon has relaxed trade and travel restrictions with Red China. Do you think, Senator, we're on the threshold of normal relations with mainland China? And should we, as a nation, move in that direction?
Well, Hyman, that's a very broad question and field, of course. I've said before, and I've thought for several years, as China is emerging now as a power with nuclear weapons, they already have the power to deliver them 1,000 miles from their shoreline, which includes most of the rest of Asia, and they will have them. In a few years, they could throw them over here on us. We can't ignore a nation that has that power. So some kind of relations with them, I think, is going to be necessary, not only them, but other nations that are coming into this field. I think, really, history will develop along the line of Russia and Red China being the main rivals. Russia and Red China, rather than the United States in Red China. Now, if that development continues with their 1,800 miles of common boundary lines and with old animosities because of territory, that would give us a chance to be the third person and might find ourselves not aligned with either one, but partly standing by as to both. So I think this is one of the things that's going to evolve over the decades. And because of these nuclear weapons, I answer your question directly, we cannot ignore Red China. I don't see any grounds of real affinity with them. And I believe and hope there's a good chance for matters to develop as between them, Red China and Soviet Russia, as I've outlined. In the meantime, though, we have to be prepared. We have to keep our powder dry. We're not wanting to make enemies of anyone, but we cannot ignore the facts of history. And as I say, we'll continue to be prepared.
Senator Stennis, this is Charlie Boren at radio station WAMY in Amory. Is there a chance that the interstate highway system will be expanded after the planned routing is completed?
Well, Charlie, as the interstate system now is being built and financed and all, I would think there's not much chance for any broad extension of that mileage before or when the present plan is extended. I do think that we will have, though, another system of interstate highways just a little below the present system, maybe, but adapted to fit in with the present system and tied in more, the present interstate system, and tied in more with the regular U.S. highways. The contribution of the federal government now is 90% in the interstate. It probably not be quite that high in this new system that I referred to. But the new system that will evolve will perhaps be more in keeping with the needs of the time in which it will be built. So there is an active system coming in for the future in federal aid special, and better suited, I believe, will be to serve our purpose.
Thank you, Senator. We'll return in a moment with more questions. Here again is Charlie Boren.
How soon can the Tennessee Tom Bigbee Waterway be completed?
Well, that contract, I'm expecting the first contract for construction to be within less than 30 days from now. And that's the real go-ahead. The time to complete it will depend upon the rate at which the U.S. engineers can build it and the rate of appropriations. I believe, though, that once it's started, those appropriations will come in larger and larger sums and will rapidly move into huge contracts. But even at that, to complete it all the way through is bound to take 8 or 9 years, frankly. There's one thing about it, though. It will be usable. When one lock and dam is completed, it will be usable for navigation from there southward immediately. And, of course, with incoming barges coming up to the last lock and dam. So it's going to be used and useful long before it's completed. The completion, though, will be the big date for that through traffic. Now, let me say a special word here about the extension of the draft. I'm sure the people of Mississippi understand, like it or not, that for the time we're living in, we must continue the draft for at least 2 more years, and I'm the floor leader of the bill, and our committee wrote the bill. I'm basing my position not on just the war in Vietnam. That's being wound down, and fewer and fewer and fewer men will be sent there. Not on troops for Europe, but I'm basing my position on what's necessary to protect our own shorelines, protect our 200 million plus people here at home. We must have men of the talent and the integrity and the character to man these missiles, to man our Polaris submarines at sea, nuclear carriers. We must have that type of men to man our ground-to-air defenses here at home. And you cannot get enough of them that have that talent and aptitude and dedication and character qualifications through the volunteer system, not for a good long while anyway. So some of our young men will have to continue to serve. And yes, we'll finally pass that bill over the greatest kind of obstacles, though, because of this war. But I'm certain in my mind it's necessary for our protection here at home, and I'm going all out, do everything in my power and in the procedure of the rules of the Senate to get that bill passed, and I think we shall in a good solid form, too.
Thank you, Senator Stennis. This has been Dateline Washington. Senator John C. Stennis discusses issues and the Congress. Join us again next week at this time for Dateline Washington.